Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this moment in time, and we pray a blessing on this moment. Lord, I pray that you be with each of us, and that our hearts and our minds are receptive and open to what your Spirit wants to speak to us in these moments, Lord. Lord, I pray that your Spirit work in us, transform us, mold us more into your likeness. And Lord, as we stand here, as we watch on our TVs, we're mindful of those who are hurting. We pray that you be with the Kemp family, Lord, and we pray for them in their mourning. And we pray that you be with them in their grief, that you give them peace. Lord, we pray that you be with Miss Betty. We ask that you relieve her of her pain in her back. Lord, we pray that you be with Kathy tomorrow and those who will be performing her surgery. Lord, we pray for a good surgery and a quick recovery. Lord, we're thankful for Miss Tarver and her recovery from her injuries. And Lord, we're mindful of all the things that are happening around us, all the events swirling around us. Lord, we just ask that you be with teachers as they prepare. Students, as they prepare, Lord, we ask you continue to be with our medical workers in the midst of this pandemic. Lord, bless us in this moment. To your son's holy name we pray. Amen. Have a seat. Now, we're starting a new series, and you can probably see that with the title slides, but it has to do with giftedness and what it means to be a gift to the world. So the first question I have for you today is this. How do you receive gifts? How do you receive gifts? Are you the kind of person that when you receive a gift, you feel very uncomfortable? They give it to you, and you don't really know how to act, and you're like, oh, you didn't have to. Or are you the kind of person that when you receive a gift, you get giddy about it? Like, you're just excited, and you feel special, and it's just, you love getting gifts. Because here's the thing, what I've realized is we all handle gift giving differently. There are some of us who may be more gift givers than gift getting. When I think about myself, I think my family would say that my love language is gift giving. I like to give gifts. There are many stories in my family of gifts I've given that have been returned. But it's just kind of one of those things. That's just who I am. But my very favorite person to see receive a gift is my son Isaac. If you've never seen Isaac get a gift, I mean, you're missing out on an experience. It is a sight to behold. It doesn't matter what you give him. It could be hand-me-down toys, or it could be something that is bright and shiny and brand new. This boy's reaction will be the same. He will be in awe of it. He will be excited about it. He will have this pure exuberance about it. And it will be his most favored object in front of you for that time. He will show everyone this gift. Anybody he comes in contact with that he has it, he will show you. This is his gift given by so-and-so. It will be his most cherished object. And if you don't think that experience is enough, just giving him a gift and seeing that kind of thing unfold in front of you, that moment unfold in front of you, here's the other thing. He never forgets who gave him what. So, and I look at the Brooks. Michael gave Isaac these like toys that I think were Benjamins at one time. They were construction toys. Isaac got them and thought they were great. And from that moment on, they were called like Michael's gifts. They were, this is Michael's truck. This is Michael's bulldozer. This is Michael's dumpster. He never forgets who gave him that gift. And that's the thing about gift giving and gift receiving is in that moment of a gift, there's something special that happens. Both groups receive something from the moment when you think about it. They receive acknowledgement. They receive love. they receive acceptance, and they received value. The gift giver and gift receiver also learn a little bit about one another, because there's something about the gift. It is a tangible, concrete expression of knowing one another. Whether the gift is big or whether the gift is small, whether the gift is a hand-me-down construction toy or whether it is a bright, shiny object, this thing that happens in the middle of gift giving and receiving allows for the relationship to deepen and for us to know how we feel about one another. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to explore our lives as gifts to the world. And what do I mean by that? I mean this. I mean that God is the great gift giver. God has gifted each of us with gifts so that we can be a gift to our neighborhoods, to our work environments, and to our social circles. And so my question for you today is this. Do you know that you are a gift? Do you know that you are a gift to the world around you? Because I think that can be hard for a lot of us to realize. I think it can be hard for us to realize or to think about the fact that I could be a gift to the world, that something about me is special and unique. Some of you right now might be thinking, well, I mean, if you've known what I've done in my life, I haven't been the greatest gift to the world. If you know my past history, I don't know why anybody would want to use me or want me to be a gift. Or even, hey, I'm really not that important. I'm just a person who wakes up and goes about and does their job. I'm just an ordinary person. And we have a way of telling ourselves this. We have a way of telling ourselves that we're not really that important, that we're not really that special, that there's not much we can do to change the world or change the people around us. And we might know the scriptures, and I have some of them up here. We might know John 14, 26 and 27, as Jesus was talking to his disciples and says, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." And notice what he says here. I don't give you as the world gives. There's something special about what God gifts you in this moment. And we know this. We read this and we know about the Holy Spirit. And maybe we know 1 Corinthians 12:27, where a lot of what we're going to do over the next few weeks comes from. But Paul says this to the church. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. There's this, Paul writes about each of you having this special gift, and Paul points out each gift being unique. And maybe we know that, and we go, okay, that's cool, Paul. Or maybe we know what James says, when James talks about the Father and says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Every good and perfect gift is from above. The idea that the Father is the great gift giver, and everything that comes from the Father is good. But not me, Russell. I mean, I know I'm from that, and I'm created in that image, but maybe you keep telling yourselves, not me. And so the one question I want to answer today, for us to realize that not only we're a gift, but that this good and perfect Father gives all good gifts to us and has, the one question that I want us to answer today is this, and it's a very basic one. How does God feel about you? How does God feel about you? Because here's the thing. However we answer this is everything. How we answer this is how we live our life. It is how we live in relation to others. Some of us may feel that God is just that person waiting to see when we're going to mess up. We may have that because that's what we've heard in the past, that God is that the teacher. Nothing against teachers, but God is the teacher who's ready to put your name on the board. And not just write your name on the board, but if you were like me in second and third grade, get your name on the board and get checks next to your name, you know, every time. First you underlined it, then you checked it. Maybe some of us think that's God, a taskmaster. just waiting for us to mess up, as if God is waiting to erase your name from the book of life. Others may see God as someone who, well, God just kind of wound the clock. God got the world started, wound up the clock, and then let it go from there. Others may see us as just not important, that God just doesn't notice. I mean, I'm one of 6 billion people. God doesn't notice me. Each of these answers to this question about how does God feel about you is everything to how we live in this world and how we live, again, in relation to others. With each of these answers to this question, we live in a narrative that God doesn't give gifts to us, that God doesn't see each of us as unique gifts to the world who can enrich the world and enliven the world. When we live into these answers that I just gave, we have a tendency of creating a false story about ourselves. You know, remember a few weeks ago when I say that I kind of, when we went and visited my parents, it was more like months ago, and I told you all the stuff that happened, and I said, well, no good deed goes unpunished. It's kind of a narrative that I live into. But if we're not careful, how we answer this is a narrative, can be a false narrative of how we live into our lives, how we think God sees us. And when we think about it, these kind of narratives, these kind of stories we tell about ourselves are stories that, as Paul would say, the powers and principalities want us to think. They don't want us to think that there's really anything unique about us or special. We're just one of 6 billion just trying to get through our life. And so it's what brings us to this passage in 1 Peter. I like this passage in 1 Peter partly because I like the person who wrote it. The person who wrote 1 Peter is Peter. You remember Peter, right? The once fisherman who jumped off the boat and immediately began following Jesus. The hot-headed Peter who had his own ideas about who the Messiah should be. He opposed Jesus' ideas of how the Messiah should live and that the Messiah wouldn't die. He opposed the idea that Jesus would ever be a servant. You remember that moment when Jesus tried to wash his feet. Peter would say, no, you don't wash my feet. He would be the one who would deny the relationship with Jesus when things got really hard. In the life of Peter, we witness someone who knew about God. Remember, we know the scriptures, who knew about God. But we find someone who had to learn through his years with Jesus exactly who God was. That he had to have a relationship. When he had a relationship with Jesus and encountered Jesus, he began to learn who God was. And we see this as Jesus interacts with Peter. It was only in the interaction, in the encounter with Jesus, did Peter really learn everything about himself, but also just how God felt about him. We read the progression of Peter's life, we read someone who went through a radical change as Jesus slowly began to change Peter. And Peter slowly began to answer the question of how God felt about him differently. And it's why when we read this, and when I read this passage in 1 Peter 4:10, and you get to that part in verse 10, when you realize that Peter encountered the, as he writes in the NIV, as it's translated there, God's grace. In the New Revised Standard, it says the manifold grace of God. I like that, manifold grace of God. Or as N.T. Wright puts it, N.T. Wright says that we are the stewards of the many-sided grace of God. And so when I read this, I think that Peter, the author of this letter, is one who throughout his life encountered the many-sided grace of God, the manifold grace of God, that Peter can, at this point, write this letter and say, how can we be? We are good stewards of this grace. And if anybody would know about it, it would be Peter. Peter encountered what I believe the author David Benner in his book, The Gift of Being Yourself, says this. He says, God doesn't simply like you. Nor does God simply have warm, sentimental feelings toward you just because you were created in the divine image. The truth is that God loves you. What Hannah Hernard calls a passionate, absorbed interest. God, and I love this, God cannot help seeing you through the eyes of love. Peter had to encounter, in encountering Jesus, Peter had to then realize who God and how God felt about him. That God saw Peter through the eyes of love. That God didn't see Peter as just one of another. That God just wasn't like, yeah, it's great, you're creating the divine image, so I have to like you. Instead, what Peter encountered in Jesus is what? He encountered a God who saw him through the eyes of love. And in all of this, your life, here's the thing. Your life is being redeemed by the many-sided grace of God. And that your life is brought into this love of God, and that God sees you through this. Peter realized this. If we think about all of Peter's faults, if we think about all of Peter's mistakes, and all of us in here now can say, I have made plenty of mistakes. I have said things I shouldn't have said. I have treated people the way I shouldn't have treated. I have ignored God when I shouldn't have ignored God. I have messed up. God cannot use me. And I say, look at Peter. And Peter can write in 1 Peter 4:10. He can say, we are still good stewards of the many-sided grace of God. Because God doesn't play that type of game. God doesn't say, win one, lose one. Win one, lose one. And at the end of the day, decide on which balance side do you live on. Instead, what we see in the life of Peter is that Peter can make all of the mistakes. Peter can even deny Christ in the moment. And yet we see very easily at the end of the Gospel of John, Jesus sitting by a fire waiting to bring Peter back into the fold. What we know about love comes from when we encounter Jesus, how we live with Jesus. We can then come into the realization of Romans 8, 38, and 39. That when Paul wrote this, and we think about, again, who the author was, that Paul can say this, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. To know Christ is to know God. To be loved by Christ is to understand how God feels about you, that God takes you just as you are. No more, no less. God doesn't say, well, if you would do X, Y, and Z, put it all together, I'll do this. No, God says, I'll take you just as you are. No more, no less. Who you are, because you are this unique, created person in a moment of time. You don't have to become something that you are not. God doesn't want you to become some false self that you are. You don't have to construct a new you. You don't have to, as we're wearing masks, put on a mask and be something different. Instead, you are who you are with all of your quirks and all of your shortcomings. And by the way, thank God for that. You are who you are with all of your quirks and all of your shortcomings. And guess what? In all of that, God still sees you through the eyes of love first. And Peter says, to know this is to know that you can now be the responsible ones to show the world the many-sided grace of God, to see ourselves through love, to ground ourselves in this love, and to know that our status begins and ends with love. We can come to know that God experiences each of us as good. You are good. And God gifts you. Not only good, but your life is the gift to be a witness to the love. Your life is a gift to the world so that you can be a witness of the love to this world. When we come to really know Jesus, Not just know what's in here, because I think we can know what's in here, but it's when we encounter Jesus that it becomes more than just a knowing, and it becomes a real kind of knowing. It's this Galatians passage in which Paul says, you are known by God. When this happens, when we can come to this relationship with Jesus, when it becomes more than just words, but a lived reality, when we encounter Jesus, the false stories we tell about ourselves, the mask we wear, and the projection to others about who we are fade away. When we encounter Jesus, we encounter a love that doesn't matter about any of this. We realize that Jesus loves us for just who we are. We are seen as a gift, and because of that, we understand that our unique self is important to the world. God created you in a unique way. And after God created you in your own unique way, God broke the mold. So guess what, Richard? There's no other Richard. There's just Richard. Thank God for that. But God broke the mold when he created each of you. There's not the same person with the same exact quirks and shortcomings and gifts than you. And God did that because God said, in this moment, I need you here. Because why? I love you. So here's the thing. God meets you exactly where you are and loves you. God celebrates each day the gift that is you to the world. God's desire is for you to follow your gifts into service for others, as we'll start talking about next week. God's will is for you to take your place in the mission that God is working out for the world. You are a gift. If you don't know that today, then I'll tell you it again. You are a gift. The person you are, not the person someone tells you you should be, not what the world says you need to do in order to be something. You are a gift as you are today sitting here, and I am thankful for it. You are a gift in this unique moment to do something amazing in your little space of the world. God put you in this time for a reason, to be the gift to somebody. Because the Father gifted you to be that gift. And like Isaac, every morning you wake up, God sees you with a joy and an exuberance and an awe and says, this is the best gift ever. And God says that about each of us. Now live as a gift to the world. If you have a need this morning, come now as we stand, as we sing.